Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am forever grateful to you for taking the time to listen to me as we look at a philosophy that has spread its wings very, very deeply into, I think, the American culture. It's called nihilism. And nihilism is the belief that basically there is no meaning to life at all, none whatsoever. An extreme skepticism, maintaining that the world has no real meaning and being here really has no meaning. Now, this is a philosophy that has been around for hundreds and hundreds of years. But the thing is that I think people are using it now as an excuse not to do anything about discovering the essence of their life, the significance of their life, hence the meaning. It is so easy to sit and pretend like none of this matters, like the things that even you're listening to now just don't matter. Because you don't want to see the relevance of it. It changes something. Nihilism is a rejection of what the dictionary calls moral principles or beliefs that life is meaningless. But to me, it's just an excuse not to really look at my life and deal with it. I have a couple of students who are millennials. Now, they struggle with the practice, and you might wonder why they're in it, and I do too, but there they are in this practice of meditation and seeking significance within oneself. And so when I ask them about their friends, about what they, you know, believe in, they often tell me that millennials do, that they believe in nothing. They believe that the boomers, the baby boomers, have screwed up the world, screwed up the environment, the economy. They'll never own a home. They'll never pay off their college loans. And a lot of what they're saying, in my opinion, is true. It's factual, you know? But if you make your life the predicaments of your outer living, the conditions and the circumstances of your outer living, you're going to miss the whole ball game. You're going to miss what's really significant. And so you got to ask yourself, is this where it stops with me? Is this as far as I go? I just live according to the circumstances of my life. Now, these millennials and Gen Xers and Gen Yers were raised by my generation, baby boomers, who were living in the philosophy, the great philosophy of sex, drugs, and rock and roll. So what do you expect out of their children? They didn't teach them anything of any value, of any consequence, really. And there is value in consequence, but they don't see it that way. They just want to, and these millennials tell me, it's all about alcohol. It's all about pot. It's all about sex. And so that's what they believe in, and that's what they do. There you are. And with all that being said, I get questions about this. I get people who write me and say, you know, what is your philosophy? Whatever philosophy you have, it can't mean anything because life doesn't mean anything. And that's what they come to. They just come to these foregone conclusions that have nothing to do with the reality of life. But then again, the reality of life is based on a chosen perspective, and not everybody can understand it. Let's get to the questions. First one comes from Jess, and he lives in, Seattle. I do not, he says, believe that there is anything to this world. Can you prove it to me? And he admits he's a millennial. And he's in his early 30s. I can't prove anything. How could I? Well, you've already come to a conclusion. And if a person has already come to some sort of conclusion about their life, what could I possibly say that would change that conclusion? Would you, Jess, admit you were wrong if you had enough evidence to prove that you were wrong? I don't think so. And the thing about life and the meaning of life is there is nothing you can point your finger at that would make the nihilistic person believe that there is anything other than nihilism. So what am I to say to you? How am I to talk to you? It doesn't matter to me if you believe in what I teach. It doesn't matter at all. I'm not teaching the believable, and I am not teaching anything that I would say a person should or could believe in. I'm not here to give people the perspective of hope in a world that lives hopelessly in nihilism. And a lot of people do. It's the new quote-unquote religion of the millennials and the Gen Xers, Gen Yers. So all I can really say is there is an order to this world. And if I fall into the order of the collective unconscious, and I live in that order of the collective unconscious that basically believes that nothing really matters, there are no consequences, and we're all victims and doomed because of the baby boomers and the generations before that, then that's the way it's going to be. And I think people like to be victims. I think it's very, very important to them. That way, they can keep, sustain, and develop all of their little habits like alcoholism and pot addiction and whatever other medical drugs they can find to make them feel better. It's just a way of rationalizing a person's evil. That's the way I look at it. And until you're basically done doing that dance of rationalizing your evil, nothing I would ever say would have any meaning or consequence in your life. You just wouldn't see it. You wouldn't want to see it, and you wouldn't deal with it. And that's nihilism. And I'm all right with it. You know, in a funny kind of way, nihilism to me is kind of interesting because if you believe in no meaning in life and no consequence in life, then you have to kind of look at, well, then what's happening in my life? What is really going on here? How come things happen to me the way they do? And if you apply hope, or if you apply luck, or if you apply fortune or misfortune, well, you can't prove that either. Not any more than I could prove that there are consequences of karma. You can't prove it to me. I wouldn't see it any different than you would see it. But if you explore nihilism and you go deeper into it, it could open up your mind. Instead of thinking of the meaning of life, you might want to think of the consequences of your living and how that applies to how things happen for you. How do things occur for you? Are you a person of good luck? Are you a person of bad luck? What defines a person of luck? I mean, based on the whole idea that you might think that life is a matter of luck. You can look at this in so many different ways. And I always try to look at it in a way that would promote the doubt, shall we say, of depending upon the human brain, the human body, and thinking of it as the only way to live, in fact, as the only way a person can live. I'm always fascinated by that. So if you can look at it from that point of view, if you can look at it from what I just said, now your nihilism can serve a purpose. And if you don't want to think that life has a purpose or a meaning, that's fine. Live it without that meaning and see what happens. Experiment with yourself. Just play with it. I am not a religious man. I don't believe in anything per se, you know, like a religion or a philosophy. And if that's what you call nihilism, then I might be in there with you, but I don't think of it that way. I do understand the consequences of living. I've seen it in my own life, and I've seen it in other people's lives. But if you have to be a non, shall we say, believer in that, I'm fine with it. Just explore it. Just watch. Keep an open mind. See what happens to you in proportion to the kind of person you have become. Just look at that. And if you can't see that, there are many lifetimes to work this out in. So worry not. You will work it out one day or another. Please forgive me. Namaste. We all have our thing. All right, this last one is from Zig. And Zig lives in Hawthorne, California, LA. What could be the meaning of humanity if you look at it? Wow. Futility. I think if you really look at humanity, Zig, you will see it's all about futility. No matter what you do, no matter how much you get, how rich you become, how poor you become, how popular you become, how unpopular you become, the futility in humanity is one day you have to give it all up through death. And that's the end of it. And then you got to ask yourself, well, what did these things mean that I thought were so valuable or so important or so true? We live in a futility that exceeds the drama of our emotionality. And our emotionality wants to make everything a big deal, make it all whatever. And we do this over and over and over again, looking at our life from the point of view of fear and anger and disbelief. And actually, to be very blunt with you, we don't have the mental acuity to really understand what we're going through in the course of a lifetime. We really don't. We just go through it and we try to get all the good things we can. The pedestrian mentality reigns supreme here. So basically what we're looking at is the narcissistic way of living where we just believe only in what benefits us. So with all that being said and the craziness of it, really, what could be the meaning of humanity? Futility. And if you really look at it, you'll see that's true. It's all about futility. No matter what you achieve in this world, you'll have to give it up. No matter what. The only things that live on are those things that you can take with you through death. And those things that you and I can take on into our living and take through death, there's only one thing. It's the authenticity of love, a great love, a love that lives beyond the precepts, concepts, and beliefs of a fabricated mental, emotional state that we create in order to merely survive and have people maybe love and respect us. I don't know. I don't think that's worth much in this world, but for a lot of people, that's all it's about. And in my career, my colleagues, that's all it's about, is wanting to get the respect and love of people and thinking that maybe if they get that, it'll change their opinion of themselves. And that's what being a motivational minister or teacher or whatever is all about, is trying to get people to follow you in the way that most benefits them. Whether you think that's true or not, if you look at it with objective eyes, you'll see. So futility, it's how I live moment to moment, day to day, not being willing to give and forgive. And those are the antidotes to give and forgive. And that giving and forgiving is one of the most important lessons we learn in this world and affixes us to the order and harmony of life itself. I got to get out of here. Thank you for listening. Thank you, Zig, for your beautiful question. Please forgive me. If you have a question or a comment, email me at greg@aspire.org. That's greg@aspire.org. Have a beautiful day. We'll be back on the air next week. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.